Blog Talk Radio.
Finish
KLRichMinistries.com. And also you can go to KLRichMinistries.com. It'll still lead you to the same page. All right, before we continue on, as always, we're on every Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 p.m. Central for news that you can use as it relates to the Bible and end times, and also on Sundays for a half hour of power at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 4:30 p.m. Central. Please follow me on Facebook under It Is Finished Ministries. That's It Is Finished. That's with an ED. Ministries. Also, please follow me and subscribe to me on YouTube under Evangelist KL Rich. So if for some reason you missed these broadcasts, you can still go to YouTube. The next day it will be posted, and you can just subscribe under Evangelist is KL Rich, and it will alert you as to whenever I post new broadcasts. All right, we have a ton of news to go over. However, before we begin, please keep in prayer your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted all throughout the world. There's Christian genocide that is going on, and we want to make sure that we keep them lifted up in prayer. All right. First headline, Carson, Ben Carson's fight against political class, the ex-surgeon will endorse and has endorsed Donald Trump. Ben Carson's decision to endorse Donald Trump on Friday in Palm Beach, Florida, may come as a surprise to many of Carson's supporters, since the mild-mannered, deeply religious Carson is a vivid contrast to Trump in terms of style and values. But a Carson advisor said that the retired neurosurgeon, who for a short time last fall led the field of the Republican presidential candidate, sees Trump as the only candidate remaining who is not part of what he often calls the political class. All right, so basically Ben Carson, as we know, dropped out of the race officially last week, and he has now endorsed Donald Trump. Now, I know that you all are not surprised that he would not endorse Ted Cruz based upon the trickery that Ted Cruz played against him. Ted Cruz allowed his campaign to put out a lie saying that that Ben Carson had dropped out of the campaign, which at the time that was not true. And they put out something, well, you know, since Ben Carson dropped out, will you all come over to us? So that was plain foul. It was uncalled for. And the only thing Ted Cruz was basically, oops, I'm sorry. Yeah, someone should be held accountable for that. So there's no surprise that he was not going to endorse Ted Cruz. Now, Marco Rubio, we know that he is not pulling poll numbers, so I'm sure that Ben Carson didn't want to go with someone that was going to be losing. So the only real option other than Kasich, whatever his name is, and he's not really pulling enough. So it would have been really between Ted Cruz and Donald Trump. So, you know, I understand why he went Donald Trump. Now, there was some backlash on some people who felt like Ben Carson shouldn't have endorsed Donald Trump. Well, you're going to pick between the two. I sure wouldn't pick the backstabber. So, you know, there you go. All right, moving on. Obama believed Netanyahu is, quote-unquote, too fearful to reach a two-state solution. U.S. President Barack Obama believed the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu could have negotiated a two-state solution with the Palestinians, but he is too fearful and politically paralyzed to do so. Journalist Jeffrey Goldberg wrote in an article in The Atlantic published on Thursday. Goldberg's article titled The Obama Doctrine explores the American president's foreign policy relations since coming into office in 2009. The article is based, among others, on an interview the senior journalist did with Obama. Okay, so basically Obama has this belief, according to this article written by this journalist for The Atlantic, believing that Benjamin Netanyahu is too fearful to have a two-state solution. No, Benjamin Netanyahu is actually he will be operating out of fear if he did do that two-state solution. The Israel was not supposed to be divided. Okay, God gave that land to Abraham. Abraham, he had promised Abraham's descendants that they would be in the land of milk and honey and Canaan and all that. And so Jerusalem, all of that is there. You know, they want to call it, Israel is occupants of. No, they're not. They are living there because that's the that's what God gave them. Now you have some that want to argue that they're not the real Jews, they're not the real Israelites. They're occupants. They're not the true Jews that belong in the land. Okay, let me just say this, because I'm not going to go into the DNA and who did what. God knows how to kick out whoever he wants to kick out of his land. Okay, so if they're not supposed to be there, he knows how to kick them out. However, the Bible lets us know that there will be the land will be divided, and when it happens, God has let us know that whoever divides his land, he's going to divide theirs. So while Obama is trying to divide the Jerusalem, divide where Israel is, he's trying to divide them into a two-state, lo and behold, whoever has their hands in dividing up God's land, that nation will be divided, okay? And it is in the Word of God. So, people, you have to go to the Word of God and read where Bible prophecy is actually being fulfilled. Now, has it been divided yet? No, but it's going to be divided. And when it does, woe to the land. Woe to the nation that does have a hand in dividing God's land, because that nation will also be divided. What am I talking about? I'm talking about literally this nation. Whether it's an earthquake, tsunami, whatever, God is going to make sure that that particular nation is punished. And we already have enough judgments that we are under as a nation because of our rebellion against God, so we don't want to add on to it. However, this nation does not want God, and I'm not talking about the whole nation. I'm talking about there are those in the nation that are Bible-believing Christians. Yes, we do. There are some of us, but I'm talking about the nation as a whole. And as the nation as a whole does, God will judge accordingly. All right, moving on. Putin, this is Vladimir Putin, president of Russia, aide who died mysteriously in Washington, suffered a blow to the head. Russia complains of being kept in the dark after medical examiner finds Mikhail Lessin's death in a Washington hotel was due to blunt force injuries to his head. Russia has asked the United States for an explanation following reports that a former advisor to Vladimir Putin was found dead in a Washington hotel room last year, was killed by a blow to the head. Mikhail Lessin, who was Mr. Putin's press minister from 1999 to 2004, was found unconscious on the floor of his room at the Doyle Washington Hotel, also known as the DuPont Circle Hotel, on November the 5th last year. An ambulance was called, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. Russian television quote family members at the time as saying he had died of a heart attack, but U.S. authorities revealed on Thursday that he had died from blunt force trauma to his skull. Okay, so what happened here? Did someone knock him out where he died? Did someone kill this man? See, it sounded suspicious at the time. The former advisor to Putin, and as we know, relations between Russia and the United States are not good at all. They're the worst that they've been since the Cold War. So did someone kill the former advisor to Vladimir Putin? Was this a sign of warning? Was this to say, we will come, we will get you? Was this something to warn Vladimir Putin? You mess with us, we're going to do something to you, or we're warning you in advance before you try to do something. Was there something on with this? Okay, so again, it says that the autopsy also found blunt force injuries to Mr. Lessin's neck, torso, arms, and legs. This is saying right right here, this is sounding right here, somebody beat this man. Somebody killed him. So this was no accident that he actually fell on his head, because other than that, he wouldn't have any more blunt injuries to his neck, his torso, his arms, and his legs. So how exactly did this man die? Was he punched and hit continuously? See, there was foul play. So it said in Thursday's statement that no reference to whether the injuries were a result of foul play. How could they not be a result of foul play if injuries was all in all those areas? Okay, so I'm sure that Russia is going to be pressing the U.S. to let them know what is going on. They might even want to look at the autopsy reports themselves. Okay, moving on. The United States Department of Justice has been considering whether people should be prosecuted, wait for it, for the offense of climate change denial. Yes, I said it. What this headline is saying is that the United States Department of Justice is trying to make it where if you come out and say there is no such thing as climate change, then you can be punished, put in jail for denying climate change. What in the world? What has the United States come to? That you don't have to agree with them, and therefore, if you don't agree with them, they will legally put you in jail. Now, what they're trying to say is that, well, they're trying to compare it to what took place with the smoking industry, when the smoking industry knew that there was cancer in the that there were cancer-causing agents in the cigarettes, but then they denied it. Okay, that's, you know, those are two different things. There is science to say that there is no such thing as climate change. Now, in the smoking industries, that's you know that there's cancer in the cigarettes, you know, cancer-causing agents in the cigarettes. But to tell people that, oh, we're going to throw you in jail if you say that there is no such thing as climate change, why? Because they make money off of it. That's what it's all about. So basically what this is saying is you don't have freedom of speech anymore, people. They are trying to put you in jail for saying that there is no such thing as climate change. They are trying to put you in jail for freedom of speech, which this nation was founded upon. Well, let me go ahead and go a little further than that. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as climate change. Why? Because the Bible lets us know. And again, I'm going to read this for those who might be new and have not heard this before in Genesis chapter 8, verses 22. That's Genesis chapter 8, verse 22. And the Bible says, as long as the earth endures, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. That is in the word of God, people. So when we are hearing the Pope and different ones saying that if we don't curb our emissions and everything, that the sun is going to black out and we're going to go into where there's not going to be heat and there's not going to be cold, that's nonsense. The Bible does not support that. Now, what is happening, if they want to call it climate change, man is manipulating the climate. How are they doing it? By these chemtrails that they are putting through the air, planes that are putting chemicals in the air to try to change the climate. Or, let me go a little further, scientific experiments that's being done on the ground, which causes earthquakes. Okay? Or, let me go a step further than that, God allowing some things to take place in the climate, not that he's changing himself, but because he's allowing man to do it, because man is so wicked, and so therefore God is releasing his hand, saying, okay, you want to play God, you want to play with the weather, I'm going to let you mess with it to your own detriment. That is what's taking place. That's your real climate change. Okay, so all this stuff that, you know, the Obama administration is talking about, climate change, our biggest threat is climate change. No, our biggest threat is at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, along with ISIS. All right, so that's our biggest our biggest threat right there. North Korea orders more nuclear tests. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un watched a ballistic missile launch test in order for the country to improve its nuclear attack capability by conducting more tests, the official KCNA News reported on Friday. The report did not say when the test took place, but it was likely referring to North Korea's launch of two short-range missiles on Thursday that flew 500 kilometers, 300 miles, and splashed into the sea. So Kim Jong-un is still playing with his toys. Okay, one more headline, and then we have got to go to the Word of God. A mysterious infection may have killed 15 people in Wisconsin, and health officials aren't sure why. The rare bacterial infections began cropping up last year across parts of southeastern Wisconsin, affecting dozens of people who had little in common other than their advanced age and a history of existing health problems. A dozen people got sick, and then another dozen. More than 4 months later, the number has grown to 48. So far, 15 patients have died, though it remains unclear whether the infection was to blame. Federal and state authorities are still trying to figure out whether the infections or where they're coming from, actually, and investigators are being baffled. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services traces the outbreak involving bacteria called Elizabeth Kingia, which is prevalent in the environment but usually not harmful to most people, last November. So there's another outbreak. The scientists don't know, the doctors don't know what is causing it. This is in Wisconsin. 15 people have died, a total of 48 have caught it. These are signs of the time, people, the end of the age, things that are taking place. And the Bible lets us know that there's going to be pestilence, there's going to be plagues, there's going to be wars and rumors of wars, and these things must happen before Jesus comes back. And speaking of Jesus coming back, I want to read in Matthew chapter 24, and starting at verse 36. It's Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. And it talks about the day and the hour, that we do not know when the day or the hour is. But it says, no one knows about the day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So let me stop right there. This verse right here is letting us know that no one knows the day or the hour when Jesus is going to come back. The only person who knows that is God the Father. So Jesus told us that not even the angels nor he himself knew when he will return. Only the Father knows when he returns. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them away. This is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus is saying right here is that during the time of Noah, see, Noah preached all them years that they didn't pay attention. And so they did not know the exact day that God was going to send the flood. They did not even believe that there was going to be a flood because there had not been any rain prior to that. So when Noah said it's going to rain, they thought he was crazy, because the way the earth worked during that time was that there was moisture that came up through the ground, but there was no such thing as rain falling out of the sky. So when Noah was saying, oh, it's going to rain, they're looking at him like he's crazy. Oh, no, it's not going to rain. Oh, no, it's never happened before. Oh, he's a madman. Oh, he's building this ark, and they kept on having their fun, and as the Bible says, they were eating and drinking and living it up and partying and marrying and giving in marriage and doing all sorts of things. And the Bible lets us know that just as it was in the days of Noah, it's going to be that way again when Jesus comes back. And right now, people are living their lives. They're having fun, drinking, and sleeping with this one, and sleeping with that one, and cheating this one, and cheating that one, and lying to this one, and lying to that one. And they're having a great, marvelous time right now. But this is the way it's going to be when Jesus comes back, because you're not going to know. Is this going to be a surprise for those who are not ready? The Bible lets us know that two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be in the grinding, and one with the handmill. One will be taken and the other left. This is not talking about a secret rapture, people. This is saying that when Jesus comes back, one is going to be taken and the other left. That means that you're going to have some people around you that's not going to be ready, because they're going to be running to the rocks and the mountains and crying out to the rocks and the mountains to fall on them. This is saying that some are going to be ready to be received and others are not. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will return. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. The Jesus is saying right here is that we're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be ready. We're supposed to be looking at the signs and seeing. We're seeing all the signs. See, when I bring you the news, I'm not bringing you the news just like I'm seeing MSNBC, ABC, Fox News. I'm bringing you the news to let you know how soon we are to Jesus' return. Because Jesus told us to look at the signs, and all we have to do is look at the signs, and we can see how soon Jesus is to return. And Jesus gave the example of a thief. If you knew someone was going to come to your house and break in your house, you wouldn't leave. You wouldn't go anywhere. You'd be like, I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to try to come up in this house while I'm up in here. You wouldn't go nowhere. But since you don't know, then you go and you leave. But the thing is, you just be prepared, so you live life as if it is the time for Jesus to come. He goes on to say, so you must be ready, because the Son of Man will come in an hour when you do not expect it. So who then is the faithful, and who is the wise servant? The master who has been in charge of the servants of his household to give them their food at the proper time. Okay, I don't have time to go through all of this text, but Jesus is letting us know here is that we are to be ready. We are to be watchful, because we do not know an exact time or date. Some people try to put numbers on it. They try to put years on it. They try to put dates on it. We cannot give no date. We can, if anyone say, well, Jesus is coming May the 16th of 2018, they don't know that. No one knows the exact day that Jesus is coming, but Jesus said prepare. We do know that we're in the last days. We do know that it's getting close. We know that all the signs are coming, that Jesus is nearly close, that he's going to show up, and we have to be ready. But can we say an exact day and time? No. But we can say that Jesus is real close to coming because of the things that he has told us in his word. And we are to be prepared for when Jesus comes. And so in First Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'm going to end with this. It says, for the Lord himself will come down with a mighty command. Just a moment. Okay, the devil don't want me to get this out. For the Lord himself will come down with a command, with a loud command, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we which are alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. God is letting us know. And First Thessalonians, that he is coming back. He is coming back with a loud shout, with the command of an archangel. That is the seventh trumpet when Jesus comes back. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive shall be caught up in the air to meet him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Or if you were to die today, would you be able to say, I've done all I know to do, and I'm ready to meet my Savior? If you can't say that, then the day of the Lord is now. Harden not your heart. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart today, I ask that you say this prayer with me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Have mercy on me. Create in me a clean heart and renew the right spirit within me. I accept Jesus into my heart today. Fill me. Cleanse me, make me anew. I accept you, Lord, as the Son of the living God. Have mercy on me. And if you said that prayer, then welcome to the body of Christ. God loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son down here to die for you. And all you have to do is accept the free gift of salvation. God bless you. We will be back on Sunday for a half hour of power. And we're going to be talking about frauds in the pulpit. You do not want to miss Sunday. Frauds in the pulpit, fakes in the pulpit. God bless you. This is It Is Finished with your host, Evangelist K.L. Rich. Until Sunday, you be blessed.